right. Thank you for that. I'm excited to be here tonight. The title of my message tonight is Surrender to His Sovereignty. Come to the place that we can honor and glorify God in the way that He is supposed to be honored and glorified. I mean, we serve a sovereign God, do we not? And over the past however many months it's been, you know, studying out the scripture for this conference, it's really burdened my heart, just the thought of how sovereign God is and how amazing God is and how much we're really lacking in serving Him and giving Him our lives and surrendering Him our lives. And it's certainly been a burden on my heart, and I pray that through this weekend that we could share that same burden, and that as Brother Andrew said, these messages are going to build on each other, and we're starting off tonight looking at being still. So we'll turn to Psalms chapter number 46. Psalms chapter number 46, and we'll read our text verse, and that is verse number 10. Psalms 46 and verse number 10. And it says there, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Let's pray. Father, we come before You tonight, and Lord, we are humbled by the fact, Lord, of who You are. Father, as we look tonight at the idea of being still, we pray that You would speak to our hearts, Lord. Father, we pray that You would break our hearts, and that You could mold us and make us into the Christians and the servants that we need to be for You. Lord, we ask You that as we go through this service, Lord, Your Holy Spirit would touch each one of our hearts. We ask You that You would help us to leave changed, Lord, that we would walk out of here different than when we came in. Father, we ask these things now in Jesus' name, amen. So going into this conference, we're focusing on God. That's the title of the conference, is God Focus. And really what it comes down to is before we can focus on God, we need to be still. And that's exactly what this scripture here is talking about tonight. The very first words in Psalms 46, verse number 10, is be still. And something throughout the whole Bible I've noticed is that God's plan for this does not change. The scripture here, it doesn't say that we need to know God and then, oh yeah, be still. The first word is to be still. We need to be still. In order to draw closer to God and understand more of His sovereignty, we need to first be willing to surrender. We need to first be willing to surrender. Like I said, it's interesting that throughout the Bible, you look at 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. The first idea there, the first thought of drawing closer to God is humbling ourselves. It's submission. It's abasing ourselves, humbling ourselves. You look ahead to passages like James 4 talks about how we need to draw nigh to God. And that's the idea of us humbling ourselves and coming to Him, not the other way around. The term be still here is meant to mean surrender. The idea here, when it says be still, is the thought and the idea of surrendering or just plain stopping. I think of, say, if there was two dogs fighting in a back alley somewhere, And one is, you know, on top of the other one, and the other one is just like playing dead, you know, he's being still, okay? It's the idea that came to my mind when I was studying this out. It's being still. The more we think that we have become, the more in control we think we've become, the less we understand the sovereignty of God. I don't know about you, but sometimes in our life we think, man, you know, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I think I've got things figured out. And then all of a sudden something devastating happens and we're completely at a loss. I'm not very old, but the older I get, the more I realize I am not in control. And it can be an intimidating thing, you know, when you get married and you start having children and perhaps you're on the mission field like we are and trying to start a church. And I mean, I am not in control. We can try as much as we will to do this and that, and I can work as hard as I want to, but the truth of the matter is I'm not in control. And the more we try to orchestrate our circumstances and make them turn out how we want, it seems like we're fighting a losing battle. And I'll tell you what, it can become stressful. It can really produce great anxiety in our life when we focus on this is how my life needs to be and a concept of this is how I think my life should go. And it can really create a lot of anxiety and fear and, oh, so much heartache when we focus on attempting things for God in our own strength or thinking that we have an idea of how our life should play out. But remember, this weekend we're looking at the sovereignty of God and what his will is for our life. And before we do any of that, we need to be still. We need to surrender to God. The key to letting go is admitting we are not in control and to stop our attempts to be. Once this happens, we can rest in knowing that God is in control. This is something that I've had to learn. This is something that probably many of you have learned, is that once we realize that, hey, wait a second, God said he is in control, we can rest in that. And I'll tell you what, the journey is so much easier when we realize God is in control. And we can rest in that. And the more we learn to rest in that, I'll tell you what, the anxiety, the fear, the stress, it just melts away. You know, you can have a million and one different things bombarding your life, and you can be at peace. I've talked to people that I work with in Labrador, and they just shake their head and say, Darren, how are you so happy? You know, and I tell them about different things that go on, and they just shake their head. They have no idea. And it lets me present the gospel to them and say, hey, well, you know what? I trust in God, and I know that he's in control. And because of that, we can have peace. And if there's one thing in this world that everybody wants, it's peace. And with that being said, the only way that we can attain that is if we be still. Think of all the millions of dollars and all the effort that's being put into world peace or finding inner peace. But all it takes is to be still. It's unbelievable. So number one, I'd like to say that we need to stand still. Now, standing still is something different than being still, and that's something we'll talk about here. So the idea of standing still is just stop. This is about what we can't do. Stand still. It's about our work. Stand still, and God will speak to you. The idea here is when Moses was up against the sea with the armies of Pharaoh behind him, you know, and he said to his people, what did he say? Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. See, when we stand still, God can speak to us, but we have to stop. You know, he could have been pacing back and forth, thinking what he was going to do, or maybe setting up his armies, bracing for the impact of the other army coming against them. But no, he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. We need to stop. Before we go any farther, I'd like us just to stop. So many men in the Bible had a hard time with this, trying to control and accomplish things through their own means. If you notice, in Psalms 46, it mentions Jacob a few times, because Jacob really struggled with this. And if you know much about the life of Jacob, he really did struggle with trying to do things in his own power. And he's a lot like I am. He's a lot like maybe many of you here tonight. Jacob liked to work hard. He liked to try to put in his own effort to see the will of God brought forth. This passage is trying to convey the thought that the God of Jacob is our God too. Even though, you know, he messed up in some areas and he tried so hard to focus on how he could make things happen, at the end of it all, it says that God was his refuge, God was his strength, and God was his help in time of trouble. And you know what? His God is our God too. And it really makes me think, wow, I haven't blown it yet, you know. All the times that I've maybe stepped out of line and tried to get ahead of God sometimes, you know what, Jacob did that too. And God still helped him. God still was willing to come along and bless him and give hold true to his promise to Jacob. You know, even though Jacob, he was a schemer, you know, and God was his refuge, he managed to get, you know, his brother's birthright. He cheated him out of it with a pot of stew. And we know that eventually he stole his brother's blessing from his brother Esau, from his father Isaac. Just like Jacob, we feel like if we can just work things out, if we can just manufacture things a certain way, everything will work out. And sometimes you think, and honestly, we think, hey, we're helping God. You know, we've set things up and aligned things perfectly so that God can now come in and do the work. You know, how often do we do this? You know, whether it's in our ministry or our family or our church or anything, we think, okay, let's just get the, you know, in many churches, you know, they'll dim the lights and maybe make the mood just right, and they'll try to make it so that God can work better, like he needs help. And I'll tell you what, God does not need help. If we believe that God is sovereign, that's it. I love the first two words of Psalms 46, God is. I think we could just stop there tonight, and God is. That's all that matters. He is. God is. Just like Jacob, we feel, you know, we can work things out and do it in our way and we can help God, but that's not the answer. And I'd like us to see here tonight that that's not the answer. It's not the answer to try to help God and maybe work it out in our own way. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." We see here that, you know, even our good things we do, even our righteousness is filthy rags, and it says there that we just fade like a leaf. You know, the Bible says our life is like a vapor. So us trying to help God or us trying to manufacture things to help the ministry go ahead or our life go ahead, really, where is it getting us? Where is it getting us? He was so willing to work hard, you know, for Laban, his uncle, so that his plans would work out. We're talking about Jacob here. And we are usually very willing to work tremendously hard as well to see our plans go forward. We love to work. I don't know about you, but sometimes I find myself more willing to work and sweat and toil just to see things go ahead. But the truth of the matter is that's man's wisdom. See, we've been taught growing up that if you work hard, if you put in an honest day's work, that you can get ahead. But it's really opposite in God's eyes, and he's asking us here to be still. We seem to have this idea, you know, we work hard and we can, you know, if we work hard and we throw enough resources at it, and, you know, things are bound to happen. If we just keep pumping money into it and pumping, you know, man hours into it, that it'll work. And I mean, I'm talking about, you know, whether it's our business or ministry or anything. We think that if we can just put enough of our effort in, that it'll be successful. I'm not against hard work, but sometimes we can get too caught up in the abilities of man that God has been put to the sidelines. And I believe, I'm just as much a believer as hard work, and you know, we're in Labrador and we're trying to do a hard work out there, but there needs to come a point where it's God's work. It's not my church, it's God's church. It's not even my life. The Bible says that we've been bought with a price. We are no longer our own. So if that's the case, the church isn't mine, my life isn't mine, my family isn't mine, they're God's. So why do I try to put so much effort into something that you know, won't even work? We see, though, in Jacob's life, it wasn't even until Genesis 32:24, where it says that Jacob was left alone. Jacob was left alone. That Jacob's really, his life really changed. And Israel was born through that. His name was literally changed to Israel. Jacob's life up to this point was chocked full of him attempting to do it on his own. It was chocked full of him, oh, you know, just putting in more effort and doing things his own way. When God has given you a promise, don't attempt to do it on your own. Okay? God had given Jacob a promise. And you know, Jacob thought, okay, he's given me this promise. All right, so we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to make it happen. And that's not the case. That's not the way God works. When God has given you a promise, don't attempt to do it on your own. Just allow him to complete his work in you. And that's where being still and standing still comes into play. We need to allow him to complete the work. As we can see from many different examples in the Bible, it's very important to surrender and to literally be still, okay? We can see this in the life of Moses in Exodus 14:13, where he had a be still moment in his life, where he was still and God came and spoke to him. We can see this in the life of Job in Job 37:14, where Job, he had no other option but to be still. And you know what? God spoke to him. And God worked through his circumstances to speak to him. And we see that Jacob, at this time in his life, he was left alone. He had sent his family across the river to try to appease his brother Esau, and he was left alone. And he ended up wrestling with God, and eventually he was forced to be still. And God was able to get his attention and speak to him. All three of these men had no other option, but God in his sovereignty brought them to the place where they stood still and God moved. God moved in his life. I don't know about you, but there's times in my life where I've had no other option but to be still. I've put so much effort into some different things, and it comes to the place where I have no other option. And God has to speak to me, and God does a work there in my life. As humans, we aren't naturally inclined to want to put ourselves in the situation where being still is required. And what I'm talking about here is faith. When we step out in faith, we will naturally have to be still because we have no other option. When you step out in faith, you're not doing it in your own ability, in your own power, but you're doing it in the power of God. And when that happens, we understand that we are still, and now God can move. And it's not until that point in our lives that God will move. Something interesting is that surrender to God will often put us in situations, like I said, where we have to be still, where the outcome is completely out of our hands. Now, when we moved to Labrador, I had no idea what was going to happen. No idea. 2 weeks before we moved out there, I had no idea how we were going to move. We didn't have anything lined up. I had no idea, how we were going to get our things out to Labrador, how my family was going to move out to Labrador. But sure enough, God provided a trailer, and God provided someone that was willing to drive it out to Labrador for us. And, we got out there. I really had not much of an idea where we were going to live. Someone had offered us a camper trailer to sleep in. And we were there for, I think, 6 weeks or so. What I was trying to accomplish there was to step out and force myself to be in a place where I had to be still. See, my hands were tied. I couldn't do anything. And see, when we can get to that place in our life, that's really the only place that God can move. You know, God said he would build his church. You know, it's not really a cooperative event here. God wants us here, and God wants us to serve him, but it's really his work. It's really God's work. And when we learn this in our life, that it's God's work and not our work, we can really see God move. Secondly, I'd like to see our frailty, and I'd like us to surrender in our strength. Psalms 103:14 says, "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." Did you hear that? We are dust. And when we really grasp this concept that we are nothing and God is everything, we can begin to be still. We can begin to surrender ourselves. And before before we can really approach God and understand more about his sovereignty, we have to first be still. We have to first humble ourselves. I mean, you don't walk into a throne room where there's a king standing there and puff out your chest and say, "Hey, how's it going?" You know, we need to walk in humility. We need to come before God and say, "I am nothing but dust. I am useless. I am a sinner, saved by the grace of God." In verse number 15 of Psalms 103, it says, "As for man, his days are as grass, his flower, he is as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. And the place thereof shall know it no more." We must come to the place in life where we realize that without God, we are nothing. We are absolutely nothing. Our salvation, it's completely in him, okay? This is why salvation by works, or even retention of salvation by works, is so wrong. It will always lead to self-righteousness and pride. See, and if we're truly going to recognize God's sovereignty, we have to abase ourselves. We have to say, "I am nothing and God is everything." See, back in the garden when Adam and Eve first came and sinned, and even back further when Satan rebelled against God, really what was going on there was Satan was questioning God's sovereignty. And when you really break it down, you see that pride that rises up in Satan's life and eventually in the lives of humans, it really is questioning God's sovereignty. So every time that pride rises up in us, every time that we think we're something, every time that we sin, we're really questioning God's sovereignty. We're saying, is he really God? Is he really all-powerful? Is he really all-knowing, all-sovereign? And he is. But when we sin, when we have pride in our lives, we're questioning that. And that's the most base thing that it really comes down to is when we have pride, we are questioning God's sovereignty. Our righteousness is completely his. Remember, if our righteousness is as filthy before God, then how could anything we do outside of him, outside of his spirit in us, be any good at all? And the only way that we can be living in him and walking in the spirit daily is if we're humble, is if we have crucified the flesh, if we have submitted ourselves underneath his power and his direction and said, hey, I'm going to be still. I'm going to stop trying to do it on my own, and I am going to let God. Our abilities are completely his. Surrender of our abilities is vitally important. You know, we think, we can say, hey, I'm a talented guy, or I have all this learning, or have you seen my bookshelf lately? It's huge. You know, I know all this stuff, or maybe we may think we're good singers, or good preachers, or teachers, or whatever it may be. We have to surrender our abilities. Because really, without God in our lives, I mean, they're nothing. They don't matter for eternity. They don't matter a hill of beans. Without God, we are nothing. Our abilities are useless. You remember what Paul says in Philippians 3, verse number 4. He says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man think that he hath whereof he might trust in his flesh, I more. He says, well, you guys may think you have confidence in the flesh. You guys may think that you're pretty good, but I have even more confidence in the flesh. Now, Paul has come from a place where he probably knew many languages. He probably went to the best schools and had the best training. Probably came from a really good family. But we look down in verse 8 and it says, yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss. And if there's somebody that I think we could perhaps emulate tonight is Paul, because he had it all. He was smart. He had so much going for him, but he said, you know what? Even though I have all of that, I count it but loss. And what is so curious to me is why would he just throw that all aside if it really meant something? If he could really maybe use that knowledge and learning for God, why would he just cast it all aside? The truth is because it really was worthless. And Paul even said, he said, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I might win Christ. I want to win Christ. I want to do things for God, but we have to understand that it's not our abilities. It's not our strength. It's not our knowledge. It's not what we can do for him. We need to count all but lost for Christ, and we need to surrender our abilities. We need to surrender our wisdom. 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. They're pointless. They're worthless. We think we may have wisdom. We don't. We could look at the phrase, be still, and say, is this really the answer? Is this really how it needs to be? I mean, we seem pretty professional. We seem like we may have things figured out as a church. You know, as a group here tonight, you know, we definitely look like we've got it together here tonight. But do we? You know, if that's the case, then why are we having a God-focused conference? Why are we looking here tonight at the idea of being still? Man's wisdom is so attractive because it's rooted in pride. Man's wisdom is so attractive because it's rooted in pride. Somewhere along the line, we have stopped building with precious and started building with the perishing. He said, I will build my church. God will build his church. And when we try to focus on our wisdom and our know-how and, hey, maybe we should do ministries this way, or maybe we should focus, on trying different things, or like we said before, you know, pumping different resources into it, the truth is none of that matters. We can work our entire lives very hard, but if God doesn't show up, what was the use? And I don't know about you, I've heard countless stories, and I've read biographies about men of God and saw how they worked and made and saw mighty, mighty things happen through the power of God. A verse that reminds me of this is just a page back in Psalms 44. It says, we have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us what work thou didst in their days, in the times of old. And the things that I've read in different biographies and things of great men of the past that were used mightily of God. And I get such a hunger to see God move, to see God do something in this day. I don't know about you. I don't want to just live a mechanical Christian life, a life where we have a certain way we do things, and then that's it. Because I'll tell you what, and I don't mean to be rude, but it's not working. If God doesn't show up, I mean, we're hopeless. We're absolutely hopeless. And I really believe that if we want to draw close to God this weekend and we want to see and focus ourselves on God, we need to first be still. We need to surrender ourselves. We need to take all of what we think we are and leave it at the door. Throw it out with the garbage because it's worthless. Somewhere along the line, again, we've stopped building with precious and we've started building with perishing, with things that don't matter, with things that will not last. This sounds like a paradox, but God often asks us to do things backwards than the way human nature would think it should be done. And so often times, you know, we think, okay, you know, we're going to try to do things wisely and we're going to, manage things as we think God would have them be. And that's good. And I understand why we do that. But I want to hear a word from God. God in the Bible has asked us to refuse man's wisdom. He says man's wisdom is foolishness. The Bible says that we need to lose our life to gain it. Doesn't that seem backwards to you? It does to me. The Bible says that we need to love our enemy. What? That's backwards to man's wisdom. The Bible also says that we need to give to prosper. Well, that doesn't make any sense. Why would you give to prosper? And so what I'm trying to show you here tonight, that many times the way we think things should be done is really backwards. See, and just like Jacob, he thought, okay, God's given me a promise, and I'm going to work super hard to make sure it happens. But that's not what God wanted. God wanted him to trust in him. God wanted him to be still. Acts 17:6 mentions that Paul and Silas had turned the world upside down with the gospel of Christ. You ever read that? It's an exciting passage. And what we see there is that everybody thought, the world thought, that Paul and Silas had turned the world upside down. But really, they were turning it upside right. They were really making the world what it needed to be. They were spreading the gospel. They were sharing the good news of salvation. And people thought that was backwards. That was weird. They thought at times that that they were just intoxicated because they were so joyful and excited to share the good news of the gospel. They thought it was backwards. The things of God are often backwards in the eyes of man. 1 Corinthians 2:14, I can read it. It says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him." We understand that the natural man, the man that doesn't have Christ in his heart, does not understand the things of God. "For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Because the natural man wants nothing to do with God. The natural man doesn't see his need for God unless the Holy Spirit comes along and convicts him of sin and shows him a need for the Savior. I can't convince men that they need God. I can try and I can preach and share gospel tracts, but really it comes down to the Holy Spirit of God convicting them of their sin, showing them their need of a Savior. We have to remember that while attempting anything for God, whether it be in ministry or education or a walk with Him or a family life, we absolutely must be walking in the Spirit. Now, it may not be something that we often talk about, but last time I checked, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit were equal. Now, I don't know why or where we've got off thinking that, oh, you know, we focus on Jesus and we focus on the Father, but, you know, preaching on the Holy Spirit and talking about the Holy Spirit working in our lives, you know, that doesn't make you seem weird. Okay, it may to the world, but sometimes I feel like we as Baptists tend to think that, oh, you know, we don't really talk about that. And it's funny, in Goose Bay, when I tell people I'm Baptist, they say, "Oh, so you don't believe in the Holy Spirit?" What? Yes, I do. And they're shocked. And I say, "Yes, I believe in the power of the Holy Spirit." We need to be walking in the Spirit. And the only way we can do that is by humility. The only way we can be walking in the Spirit, the only way that God can get any pleasure in us is if we're being still, is if we're humbling ourselves, if we're submitting ourselves in and unto Him. Living without it, living without the Spirit, is like splitting wood with a hammer. It just won't work, okay? We can try things as hard as we want, but unless God's there, unless God's working in it, I mean, it's hopeless. It's pointless. I mean, we need to have God working. This is why we need to be constantly surrendered to God. We need to do this by being still. The Bible says, be still. Our wisdom is nothing. Our efforts are nothing. But our surrender is everything. I'll share this one thing and I'll be done. Surrender is everything. We've seen that our wisdom, it's nothing. Our efforts, they're really nothing. But our surrender, okay, now we're getting to the exciting point, is everything. Being still in the Spirit, what we can do, okay? Our efforts, those are things that really what we can't do when we were looking at them. Being still, it will speak to God. We saw how standing still, how just forgetting our abilities, that is allowing God to speak to us. But now being still, the action of being still, will speak to God. To be still is something that you are, which is different than the action of standing still. See, being still is the action of really inaction, okay? Being still is something that you are. To surrender is without a doubt the first step in anything we can do for God. We can see the same pattern, like I said, laid out in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and many other passages in the Bible. God wants us to surrender to him. It seems as it's almost a law of nature because, like I said, you know, the original sin, it all stemmed off of pride. And so if we're going to get back with God and surrender to him and have a right and true relationship with him, we need to be surrendered. We need to be submissive. We need to be humble. We need to be still. Be still. We can learn so much about the Lord. We can learn so much, again, about his sovereignty. But we must be still. To be still involves surrender and submission. Like I've said, to let go and say, God, you are sovereign, and your sovereignty is key. His sovereignty is everything, okay? Us being Christians, it's not about us. It's not about what we can get. It's not about, hey, now I'm on my way to heaven. It's about God. And if there's one thing I would absolutely love to see this weekend, it's that we give glory to God and that what happens here will honor and glorify God. But we need to surrender. We need to realize that this Christian life has never been about us. We can look around at this world and say, boy, what a mess this place is in. But you know what? He wants us to be still. You know, we can focus on so many different things in life. There is so much that we could focus on. Bad things, good things, weird things. And you know what? We really just need to focus on God. We need to take the focus off ourselves, take the focus off this world, and put it on him. I mean, it's stuff that we learned in Sunday school, really, but we need to remember to be still and surrender to God. It's very easy to point out the things that are wrong in this world, the things that are wrong in others, the things that may be even wrong in ourselves. But you know, he hasn't asked us to do that. Remember that the Bible says that he must increase and I must decrease. Okay? And like I said, I'm so sick and tired of just seeing the mechanics of Christianity and church and different things like that. I want to see God work. And I know you do too. Let's surrender to God. Let's be still in God and see what he can do. Knowing God, knowing his sovereign will only come from the action of being still. Knowing what he wants for your life, knowing the next step he wants to take in your life, it will only come by being still. So what I ask of you in the matter of being still is to surrender. To surrender to God and to behold his greatness and the great things that he could do. God wants to do great things. I know God wants to work in this church and in Canada, but it's going to take men and women that can learn how to be still. Let's pray. Father, we come before you.